Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
That, of course, is What Up Cal, who did a little song for us a couple of months ago. And LZ, you said that you're going to touch him up again once we get closer to having some sports back. And there's a whole bunch of good news out there that looks like we may be getting sports back before too long. The NBA looks like they're moving forward. The state of Arizona says, hey, we're open for business. Come on out here. Cal may have to get back to work before too long.
Yeah, that'd be good news. That'd be good news for us in terms of our musical selection, but obviously just good news for the country, if not the world at large.
Well, although don't get back.
Although China did say they still won't be broadcasting NBA games, we here in USFA, we will be broadcasting NBA games. So they're lost.
USC don't want to get back to football too soon.
Well, at least not on September 5th.
They want to try to figure out how to get out of that Alabama thing. Ah, well, you know, yeah, we don't want to play it in November. Well, why don't we just cancel it?
Tell
Nick to just cancel the deal. We'll schedule it for 2035. Not a big deal.
We'll catch you later. We'll catch you down the road. You know, before we get to the NBA stuff, Key, it's so funny because it's almost unimaginable that we would be in a spot where USC would be looking to duck somebody on the football field. I mean, I understand that you have good years and bad years and you're going to lose some games and some other good teams are going to beat you once in a while. That's the way it goes. But ducking another team to say, you know, we're out.
But
that's what's going on.
Be honest with you, though, I'm glad that we're getting ready to get out of this if we're going to get out of it. Because I had a buddy of mine texting me last night. You know, he was feeling good about the chances of us beating Alabama. And then I had to bring him back to earth. I said, do you not realize they got about 9 number one picks on potential first round? No, put it this way. I'll clear it up even better. They got about 9 top 50 guys for the 2021 NFL draft. Okay? And he says, oh, they only got 2 corners. I said, no. You forget. They got 2 bookend tackles. They got 2 bookend defensive tackles. They got 2 shutdown corners. They got 2 wide receivers. They got a running back from California, Najee Harris. And, by the way, they got a quarterback that played in replace of Tua Tagovailoa. So, and on top of that, they got a dude that runs the sidelines, all 5'7" of him, going up and down the sidelines. And on top of that, they got a that's looking to do something to the scoreboard that used to coach for you. So when you put all that together, so by the time I got to saying that to it, he's like, oh, that makes me feel real good. I'm just
of course.
It's the truth.
Look, I mean, you don't have to know Alabama's depth chart down to the 100th guy on the roster. All you need to know is, like you said, Key.
By the way, they got Mosley, who's coming back at middle linebacker, who was going to go into the draft this year and was projected as a first-round pick, decided to go back to school.
As long as the 5'7" guy is on the sidelines, they're going to be loaded. I don't care about, you know, this guy or that guy. If that guy's there, he's not going to let the cupboard run dry the way some other programs might. If he's there, it is just a pipeline of NFL talent. From the moment he's got there until right now, it hasn't changed one bit. So to think that,
if Steve Sarkisian was the head coach of Alabama, I wouldn't feel good with the talent that they got.
The talent is everything. We've talked about this. The talent is everything, and then turning it into even a more exquisite product is the next thing. And they've got both of those boxes checked, and SC doesn't.
Yeah, just let's catch them when we're ready, man. Let's just catch them when we're ready. We got an out. Let's use it. That's all I'm saying.
Put it to you this way. You said catch them when they're ready. Is there a scenario where SC is on that level in the foreseeable future? I'm not talking 10 years from now.
Look, it could be. Calm down, Raj. It could be this year. I don't want to find out, though. I don't want to find out. Let's just get through this year. It could be this year. The defensive coordinator could be retooled. You know, everybody's telling me that Texas fired this guy because the head coach Tom Herman, was such a you-know-what hole that they didn't see eye-to-eye on the same page, so he blew the dude out. Well, yeah, but the guy was giving up 400-something yards a game. I get it. But at the same time, they got rid of him. But everybody's telling me that this guy is cool. He knows how to coach. So we'll see when the season starts. I just don't want his first task to be against Najee Harris in Smith at the receiver, in Waddle at the receiver, in the tide. Let's go take on New Mexico and let's start things.
That is a sad
game. Get out.
Right,
let's get out.
That is a sad commentary.
Why continue to invest in something bad? Get out while you can.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. I really can't believe that you, number one pick, SC legend, is saying, let's get the hell away from it. It's just, it's shocking to hear. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You and LZ and Raj didn't have to endure that pain from 3 years ago when I was in Texas Stadium, flew down, got the nice box with all my boys from Calabasas. We was chilling. We was feeling good about the first quarter. By the second quarter, we was feeling okay. By halftime, we was right. By the third quarter, everything that we was feeling good in the first and the second quarter and halftime went away.
All right, we'll bring it back to that. The reason that that went that way, at least in part, is because he had the wrong quarterback on the field. And you still got the same coach making the same decisions. That Sam Darnold, everybody I've talked to, Key, every last guy inside of that program that I talked to said, oh, no, Sam Darnold was clearly the better quarterback. There was no question that Sam Darnold was the guy, and yet he wouldn't put him out there and continued to not put him out there until they got to that Utah game. And instead of having a national championship shot that season, it ended up with something a little bit less. So, that dude's still there.
Yeah, I would have changed immediately after the Alabama game. Max Brown would have been on the pokey sitting down. But anyway, the NBA, man, top 75 players of all time, huh?
That's right. And they finally got to the top 10. And the top 10 has five Lakers in it. I mean, it's the guys that you would expect. It's Shaq, it's Kobe. They're coming in at 10 and 9, respectively. Tim Duncan comes in at number 8. Continuing down the list, Larry Bird at number 7. At number 6, you've got the Stilt, Wilt Chamberlain. And then you get into the top 5. It's Magic, another Laker. Number 4 is Bill Russell, another Celtic. Number 3, Kareem. Number 2, LeBron James. And then, of course, Michael at the top.
Yeah, LeBron don't really count as a Laker yet, though.
The picture they have online is him in the Laker uniform.
Because he's playing in the Laker uniform, but I don't really – do we really count him as a Laker yet?
Are you going to count the championship?
Exactly. I guess I'm saying once he wins a championship, he becomes a Laker, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think he has to achieve something.
No, and the reason I said that is because you said they got five Lakers on there. And I'm like, well, they really don't. They do, but they really don't. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like – once he wins it, then we could count him. Right now, he's a loner to us until we win a championship.
I hear what you're saying, and it's a fair point, but they were on track to go to the NBA Finals and had a very good look at winning a championship. And I hear what you're saying, that he needs to cash it in. But LeBron, last year, I think we would have had – your point would have been a better one a year ago when the Lakers weren't very good and they were kind of spinning their wheels.
My point is a good one right now. What do you mean a year ago?
He was putting together an MVP season on a championship-caliber team. I think that makes you a Laker.
No, I get it, but you know what I'm saying. It's like he did all – majority of his work came in Miami and Cleveland. That's all I'm saying.
I thought for sure by now you guys would have both taken turns disrespecting the great Larry Bird at number 7.
No, I'm getting
No, listen.
I'm going to get there. Hold on. I haven't gotten there.
After number 3,
hold on,
the
LZ.
Entire
LZ.
List is problematic.
LZ, hold on. Sir? It's not a disrespect. It's just a surprise that, you know, when I looked at it, I'm like, he won. Yeah, he's MVP. He's Larry. He was cold. I get it. He was disrespect when you put him a white dude on him. I got all that. But I'm like, 7 just seemed high. It just seemed high to me because I'm missing guys like Oscar Robertson. I'm missing Kevin Durant. I'm missing them. You know, I'm just like, okay, well, but there's only so much room in the top 10 for guys. That's all. It's fine. I take Larry. If you split the teams up, the 5 versus 5, who wins? Mm-hmm. You know, Larry Bird team win or the other Magic Johnson team win? Which one of the 5 versus 5? 5 on 5, who wins?
Well, when they played 5-on-5 with their respective teams, the Lakers came out ahead, but it was close every single time.
All right, here's the deal for me. All right, there's 10 players listed, right? Let's get rid of the top three, because I think we all agree the top three, regardless of order, they're the top three. You know, that's just the way it is. I do think it's funny, though, that in the actual write-up under Kareem, it says, no one in NBA history can match Abdul-Jabbar's lengthy list of achievements. That's the first sentence. So it's like, why isn't he number one then? But anyway, once you get past number three, and you can even say four because Bill Russell just won so many championships, it's hard to ignore him. But after that, I'm looking, I'm like going, am I really going to pick Larry Bird ahead of Kobe? Am I really picking Larry Bird ahead of Shaq? Even if you wanted to keep Larry Bird as a top 10 player, I don't know anyone who thinks in their right mind prime Kobe is a lesser player than prime Larry Bird. And certainly prime Shaq is a better player, better team acquisition than prime Larry Bird. You can find another Larry Bird. You can't find another
Shaq. Where?
No, you can't find another Larry Bird, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I
assume. No, you're not. You're not. No, you're not. Listen, you're not going to really find
you,
another one.
Listen, if I had a choice between prime Larry Bird and KD, I'm going with KD. I don't give a hoot. And as far as being one of the greatest small forwards of all time, he is one of the greatest small forwards of all time, but he's not the greatest small forward of all time. So I'm sitting here, I'm like going, okay, listen, I get it. Larry Bird's achievements cannot be denied, but who in their right mind, again, is taking Larry Bird over Shaq or over Kobe?
All of the guys from Larry Bird's era, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Isaiah Thomas, all of those other great players from that era speak with reverence of Larry Bird. There's because we talk about it all the time. The guys come and say, they'll take little shots at guys here and there. Nobody, and I'm not talking about media guys. I'm talking about his contemporaries. I'm talking about the other greats of the era. They all rave about Larry Bird. There's never shade thrown at that guy.
Listen, I have nothing but respect for Larry Bird. As the only person from Detroit, I know Larry Bird is a killer. He killed my squad multiple times for multiple different ways. I know
you ain't
he
mad at him
cold.
Like you mad at Michael Jordan, are you?
I knew that was coming.
Anybody mad at Michael Jordan? But here's the difference, though. I also know that the game has changed. I also know that skill sets have gotten better. I also know there's a reason why Larry Bird, for as great as he was, was passed up a little bit ago by LeBron James at that same position.
Sure.
And it's okay. It's okay. Kobe Bryant was a better basketball player than Larry Bird.
But LZ, if we're taking and we're saying that the game has changed and that skill sets have changed, then Bill Russell's not in the top 50. Well, because he's a 6'9 center. If you're talking about, you know, Shaq over Larry Bird, well, Shaq would just absolutely eat Bill Russell alive.
Well, this is the reason why, Travis, I said after three, the list is problematic for me.
Yeah.
I'm not simply saying that Larry Bird is the only misstep. You know, there are tons of missteps in his thing. The whole notion that, you know, John Stockton is better than Isaiah Thomas is ridiculous. And everyone
that's
who
silly.
Plays ball knows that. Yeah. So there's a lot of problems.
John Stockton is better than Isaiah Thomas.
All right, let's do this. Let's go and see who's outside of the top 10, see if we want to move anybody else into the top 10. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, guys, so we're talking about the top 74 players in NBA history, that the list that ESPN.com has come up with. And we were talking about the top 10. And like you said, LZ, the top three seems to be a general consensus of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Then after that is where the debate begins. Key, you brought up, where's Oscar Robertson? Where's Kevin Durant? Just outside the top 10 is the answer. Oscar Robertson is number 11. Hakeem is number 12. Steph checks in at 13. Kevin Durant at 14. Do any of these guys near the top 10? Dr. J is at 15. Any of these guys should be inside the top 10 as you see it?
I mean, you know, I'm not like LZ. When you get to three, it's questionable. Like, I can't question Magic. I don't know how you question a 6'9 point guard to something that they've never seen before prior to him arriving to the NBA. Not only as a 6'9 point guard in 1979, he decided to play center of the five position or whatever you want to call it at the tap, because they needed him to do it. Not only that, to facilitate the way that he was facilitating the ball coming up and down the court. I just, So that one, number four, when you talk about Bill Russell, I mean, the guy won like 11 championships, and he was just, mm-hmm. I don't care if he was 5'11". It doesn't matter. He still delivered what you're supposed to deliver, which was the ring. So when you start to talk about those guys, I'm kind of like, okay, that makes a whole lot of sense. And even I really don't have a problem with the top 10 at all, because you can't argue with Shaq, period. You can't put Shaq, what you going to argue with? How do you argue against Kobe Bryant,
Is there not an argument to be made for Olajuwon over Shaq? I mean, I'd pick Shaq, but Olajuwon's not a bad pick.
Olajuwon's not a bad pick, but we've seen Olajuwon. We've never seen the Diesel before. Where did we ever see the Diesel? A dude that big, that powerful. I was watching something the other night. I don't know who it was, but he bullied his way to the, oh, you know what? It was on The Last Dance. It was just, they was playing against the Bulls, and he just bullied his way down and dunked on somebody. I was just like, you don't see that. You don't see that power in that skill. Olajuwon had skill set because of his quickness with the feet, his turnaround in doing some of those things. But when you talk about Shaq, that's just different. Then you also got to factor in the Snack, Crackle, Pop. You can never leave these athletes when you talk about the best. You got to package everything up. Their personalities, who they are, on and off the court. You can't just look at, because when you just look at their skills, guys like Oscar Robertson is going to drop because his Snack, Crackle, Pop wasn't there. He wasn't the nicest guy to people. People say it's much like Kareem. Kareem suffers from some of that to this day about not being as outgoing as he probably should have been in his career. So as you look at these sort of things and you start to look at players, you go, okay, that top 10 makes sense. Dr. J didn't win enough championships. When these other guys have multiple championships that's on this list in the top 10, then you say, well, what about Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant's career is still young. He's still got some time to go. Well, LeBron James is still young because he's still playing. He's still in it. But LeBron James has been to 9 championships. I mean, 9. I mean, like, come on. Dude done been to 9. I don't care if he didn't win not a one. He took 9 different – I mean, he's appeared in 9 different championships. So you start to pick through the players and sift through them. You know, Dwayne Wade is a little – I mean, he's a little low to me. But, you know, I wasn't one to vote him. He's in the 30s, early 30s?
He's late 20s, which is pretty low in my book. Listen,
yeah, that's a little low.
My problem with the list when it comes to the top 10 isn't necessarily the players selected as much as the orders. As I said before the break, no one's picking Larry Bird ahead of a prime Shaq. I'm sorry. You're just not doing that.
And Boston would have.
And I don't think you would do that with Kobe Bryant either. Like, those two players to me, in terms of order, are just better picks than Larry Bird. Now, with that being said, I don't have a problem necessarily with who's in the top 10. It's once you get past the top 10 that things seem to get a little clouded with recency bias and just kind of outright silliness. Like, I'm sorry, but...
I know where you're going, LZ. Can I take a guess here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it Steph?
Steph, I can handle. It raised my eyebrow, but if he's widely considered to be the greatest shooter of all time, I'm not going to be mad that the greatest shooter of all time is in the top 15. I'm not. But once you get past that, I'm like going, okay, all right, are you really trying to tell me that Moses Malone, for instance, was not a better player than Karl Malone? Right? Like, Moses Malone was unstoppable and won chips, right? And was a finals MVP and did it during the heyday of both the ABA and the NBA. He's just got a better resume. And there's really not much to his game that you can look at and go, well, here's his deficiency as it pertains to Karl Malone. And then as you scroll down further, I mean, Scottie Pippen at 21, come on, man.
Let me ask you something, LZ. Is and I know everybody says that Steph Curry's the best shooter ever, blah, blah, blah. Is he a better shooter than Reggie Miller?
Yes.
Was he a better pure shooter than Reggie Miller?
Did Reggie Miller change the league?
Yeah, I understand shooting from half court. I see Steph Curry building a lot of houses at times.
All right, so here's the difference for me.
And
Reggie Miller's ability to create his own shot was nowhere near as efficient as what Steph Curry's is. Reggie Miller, through the offense, was mostly someone who came off of, you know, double screens along the baseline.
I understand coming off the double screens and popping it. But yes, when he come off the double screen, he popped, it was hitting the bottom of the net on a consistent, more consistent basis to me, from my eyes, than when I seen Steph, especially early on in Steph's career. There was a lot of bricking going on. So that's why I'm like, pure shooter.
Well, he's the best pure shooter in the history of the game.
I agree with that. And I have a buddy that hates Steph Curry, and we go around.
I love
around
Steph Curry.
So do I. And I think Steph Curry is exactly what you just described. Is that he's somebody that changed the game. That we have guys shooting 30-footers, guys like Trae Young, because Steph Curry came in and did what he did. But to Key's point, I think if Reggie Miller were allowed to do what Steph Curry is allowed to do, he would have been able to do it. I think that Steph Curry was the perfect combination of opportunity and skill set at the same time, where somebody decided, you know what, letting that guy take 30-footers is not a bad shot. And all of a sudden, he became the guy that changed the league based on the opportunity. Had Reggie Miller been allowed to take just unbelievably deep shots over and over and over again, I think he would have been able to do exactly what Steph did.
But you know exactly why Steph Curry was allowed to do that. Because he hit them. That's the difference. There's not a single offensive category, and I'm looking at the numbers right here, in terms of percentages of shooting that Reggie Miller leads Steph. Not even the free throw line. 88%, almost 89% for Reggie, almost 91% for Steph Curry. Every single measurable shooting statistic, when you compare the two of them, Steph Curry is ahead. Now, think about it. Key says that he shoots a lot of bricks. He's shooting from half court. He still leads Reggie Miller in field goal percentage with shooting those shots. So, yes, he was better shooter than Reggie Miller, and he is the greatest shooter in the history of the game.
All right, we'll come back to this. There's a lot more there, including inside of the top 10. But coming up next, we're going to talk with Pedro Gomez. The Major League Baseball Players Association has the proposal to go back and start the season around July. Where does it stand? Where are the hurdles? That's next with Pedro Gomez on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
All right, Major League Baseball is targeting a spring training 2.0 coming up sometime in June with a hopeful start date to their season right around the 4th of July. The players have the proposal in front of them. Joining us right now to talk about all of this is ESPN MLB insider Pedro Gomez joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Pedro. How are you?
I am very well, boys. How are you guys?
Good.
Very
man.
Good.
Fantastic.
Another week gone by. Another sit in the house for another week waiting for live sports to appear on our television shows. What is Major League Baseball doing? The proposal was signed off on by the owners, given to the MLBPA to try to figure out what the next steps are going to be. Is this thing going to happen, or is money going to get in the way?
Key, I think money is going to get in the way. It usually does. And it would not surprise me at all if things get ugly and contentious. The owners want the players to further reduce their pay. And the players I've spoken to, they're already willing to take just a prorated portion of their salary. If they play 50% of the season, they're ready to take 50% of their pay. The owners want them to further reduce that money because they're not going to be making game day money as well, which is ticket sales, concessions, parking, which is a big chunk of money for them. That is a huge chunk of money. So they want the players to further take that. And everything I'm hearing is the players I've spoken to have said, look, we're the one taking all the risks. We're the ones that are going to be exposed to the coronavirus. We're the ones that are potentially going to take it home to our families. We are assuming a lot of risk here, and we feel like we're already accepting a pay reduction, and we don't think we should take more. So it is the starting point of negotiations, and the starting point is never the end, but I think it is going to get ugly.
Pedro, you and I are out here in Arizona. Our governor has significantly eased the stay-at-home orders that he issued last month. On a personal note, how comfortable are you with that? And then on a professional note, do you think sports will flood to the state now that this has happened?
What's the last part there, LT? Do I think what? I'm sorry.
Do you think sports will flood to the state now that this has happened?
I mean, we saw Florida opened up its sporting events, and boom, UFC was there right away this past weekend. Flood, no, but I think that there's an opening for baseball. Look, baseball ideally would love to play all 30 clubs, have all 30 clubs play in their home stadiums. But we already know that LA County, that's probably not going to happen because I think they just are, or they're about to extend their stay at home orders for a few months. So that means no Dodgers. And if there's no Dodgers, Orange County may very well say, well, we're going to follow that lead. And then San Diego County is just down the road. They may also say, well, we're not going to follow that lead. So ideally, baseball would love to see all 30 clubs play in their home stadiums with the three-division allotment of 10 clubs per. So the NL and AL West, NL and AL Central, and NL and AL East all playing each other and not flying outside of those zones. But the reality is that the three-state setup may have the most ability to get done, and that would be where 10 clubs come to Arizona, 10 go to Texas, and 10 go to Florida, and they all play each other inside those three states. And we know that there are three governors there between Arizona, Texas, and Florida who probably would be willing to say, yes, absolutely, come here and do this. It's not ideal for baseball, but it is probably got a chance of happening. So, you know, LZ, me personally, I'm not ready to go to a restaurant. I don't know about you. You know, I go to Safeway, to the grocery store, and I
oh, which
you know,
one?
But yeah, I put on my mask. I'm in and out. I don't really talk to anybody. So, you know, it's difficult.
So you're one of those guys, huh?
So Pedro, I'll share a story with you. So I was in the Safeway myself this past weekend, and I run into Tom Chambers. And I recognized him because he didn't have his mask on. So on the one hand, the fanboy in me was like going, oh, man, that's Tom Chambers. And the other part of me was like going, where your mask at, dog? What you doing?
and hey, I want to make one point here to the other two. LZ goes to the Safeway where Tom Chambers is at. What does that tell you?
Exactly.
He's dropped that one a couple times already. So I just, you know. I just let it go right over my head.
Pedro, go back to something you said a minute ago, how it always comes down to money. Let's do this. Let's assume that they work out all the logistics as far as location, as far as safety, and the owners and the league are able to meet all of the criteria to go back
everything
to play
else.
With the exception of the money. Do they play baseball, or is that going to be the reason that it doesn't happen, even if everything else is taken care of?
I think if everything is done except the money, I think at that point it does happen. But it's still, the odds are still not, I don't believe, over 50% that it happens. But let's say that everything else is taken care of. I think at that point they have to. The problem is going to be that the players never win that PR battle. Even though they are probably in the right on this one because they are the ones assuming the risk. They are the ones that should be getting more of a cut of everything. It's always difficult for players to win a PR battle with fans when it comes to them not being on the field. So that's going to make it that's going to apply a lot of pressure, obviously. But I just don't see the players saying, "Okay, we'll do it for 25% of our pay," or because that's basically what the owners are saying, that they're going to lose about half of their in-game revenue. So, you know, you're going to ask the players to play for about 30%, 25 or 30% of their salaries, and I just don't see that happening.
Pedro, if we were to stick with the premise that we can get some baseball going with three different states, of all the rule changes that are proposed, which one do you think would actually get to a regular season a year from now?
Well, universal DH, although that the CBA would have to be involved, the collective bargaining agreement, and that ends at the end of the 2021 season, so that could be 2 years from now. But I believe the universal DH probably has the most opportunity. And I would say this, I think starting a runner at second base in extra innings, maybe not the 10th inning the way they do it in the minor leagues, but maybe the 11th or 12th inning, I think that one has a real chance. And the biggest reason is it saves pitching. And, you know, it saves you from having a 16-inning game. And it's not the 16-inning game so much that kills you. It's the next 2 or 3 days afterward where you're really hurt. So I think that maybe starting a runner at second base in, say, the 11th inning, that I think probably has a serious chance.
That's probably the best scenario because I don't need to sit through baseball beyond 11 innings. I'm usually going to sleep by right around then.
Well, you know what it is? It's the equivalent of having a 10-minute overtime in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but baseball is much slower. You know, it's just a slow-paced game. At least in the NFL, you're getting some action throughout those 10 minutes. In baseball, it's like, you know, you can go to the restroom and go get a beer and come back, and the same guy still batting.
Come on, Key. Come
no,
on.
I love baseball, but
when there's the third out, you can do that and come back and not miss a single pitch. That's the beauty of baseball.
Baseball is
NFL,
I love
you're missing three or four plays or five plays or six plays, and you've missed something. In baseball, they give you the built-in bathroom break.
Pedro, we saw Shaq say something the other day about how if and when the NBA comes back, the championship is going to have an asterisk on it. If baseball plays an 82-game season with an altered schedule, an altered format like we've been talking about, universal DH right on down the line, have you gotten any sense from any of the players that they'll feel the same way, that this is somehow not a quote-unquote normal championship, an asterisk championship?
I have not gotten that talk, but I'll be honest, that type of question I didn't ask either. But I don't believe that they're going to view it that way. Whoever's the World Series champ is the World Series champ, and we'll know that it was a shortened season. But look, in 1995, it was a 144-game season. In 1981, they eliminated 75 days of the season, and nobody talks about 1981 being, oh, the Dodgers won it, but there was a huge strike in the middle of the season, and you know, 2.5 months of the season was missed. Nobody talks about that. So, or 2 months, whatever it was. I don't think so. I think it's one of those things where a sports fan will know in the back of their head, but 50 years from now, somebody scanning who won the World Series, they'll just say, "Oh, 2020, it was the Detroit Tigers."
What?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Not the Tigers, hopefully. I can't deal with LZ if the Tigers get it done.
You've been in Arizona too long, Pedro.
Over the course, if it is an 81-game season, you could see a couple of playoff teams that you would never, ever have seen over the course of 162. A year ago, at the 81-game point of the season, the Pittsburgh Pirates were a half a game out of first place, and the Pittsburgh Pirates ended up losing over 90 games.
Pedro Gomez.
SC has a better chance of beating Alabama than the Detroit Tigers have of winning the World Series.
That's different. That's not the marathon.
Pedro covers baseball for ESPN. He's a friend of the show. And Pedro, I look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks a bunch.
All right, guys. Be safe. Be well.
You do the same. You do the same. Take It or Shake It is coming up next. All right, Key, let's start with a college football question. The various conferences are trying to figure out their schedules. The Pac-12 will end up playing a spring football schedule. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, no, don't shake.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. They would cancel the season before they would play in the spring. Playing in the spring, there's no guarantee. If you're not going to play in the fall, why would you play in the spring? There's no guarantee students will be back in the springtime. But, and if students are the reason that you're holding things up because they're not going to be on campus actually doing classes, what makes you think they're going to be back in the spring? You don't know that for sure.
The Pac-12 will not have a football season in 2020. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
All right. You think they'll figure it out?
They'll figure it out. It's just, it's, you know, we're still in the early stages, so to speak, of sports trying to figure out what they need to do by September. I mean, we're in May. We're in the middle of May. You know, and as long as they got a month to prepare, then I think it'll happen.
All right, let's go to a NBA conversation. Shaq said a couple of days ago that if the NBA does go back to work and there is a champion crown, that it will have an asterisk. Let's listen to Stephen A. Smith, who on First Take had a response to Shaq saying that it would diminish the championship.
In the end, I don't want to hear about, oh, excuse me, there's going to be an asterisk attached to the season. Tim Duncan and the San Antonio Spurs won a 50-game season when in 1998, 1999. We still remember him as a champion. LeBron James won his first title, if I recall correctly, during that lockout shortened season when only 66 games were played in the 2011-2012 season because of the NBA lockout. Nobody's taken that title away from him.
There is no such thing as a championship with an asterisk. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it all around. Shake.
There is a such thing. Just look at as far as I'm concerned, the Houston Astros.
That there is, I love it. Great.
Right? I mean, that there is cheating. It's the worst. And Stephen A. is right. You look at Tim Duncan, you look at LeBron James, their championships, you don't even talk about that. You just say they're champions. That's what it is. I don't know why Shaq says what he says. I mean, you know, I have no idea. But no, they would be crowned a champion. They played pretty much in what's left, 12 games in a regular season?
Not much. I think it's like 80. They've played like 85% of the schedule.
Yeah, so it's like a handful of games that are left. Whether they continue the game, they go straight to the playoffs, a tournament style, whatever it is, at the end of the day, somebody's going to be crowned champion, and that's what it's going to be.
All right, so at the end of the day, Major League Baseball players will look terrible if they do not go back to work. Take it or shake it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shake it.
That's a surprise.
It depends on what you mean, look terrible. You didn't really give me anything except they'll look terrible. What is it? Are they going to look terrible because they're fighting over money in the world and the things that we're doing? Are they going to look terrible because they couldn't come to some sort of resolution overall? I mean, which part are we talking about?
So the reason I phrased it the way that I did is because of this, that if baseball owners are saying, we have a plan, the local governments have signed off on the plan, we're ready to go, the players won't play, regardless of the reason. I understand there are some good reasons not to go, there's some bad reasons not to go, but the optics of them saying we won't go, they're going to look terrible.
Well, I think they would look terrible by saying they're not going to go, but if it's about the owners and it's about the money, then the players got a gripe with it because early on they had an agreement in place coming out of spring training that it would be a prorated share each game played. Now, maybe the owners at that time that they were negotiating it thought that the gates would be open. Now that they realize the gates aren't probably going to be open and there's not going to be butts in the seats, that number in their pockets is less. They want the players to take less. And at the end of the day, if they put that out there that the players are being greedy because we want baseball but they want money, then the players will look bad.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the NFL right here. We know that Patrick Mahomes is the number one pick to win the MVP for the upcoming season. Tom Brady is the most likely challenger to the MVP crown. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
You just said yesterday.
Most likely challenger, I would say, would probably be out of nowhere type, be like a dude like Matt Ryan. Just out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Atlanta him get hot, former MVP. I think that he has a sneaky opportunity to be that guy. I think Lamar Jackson takes a step back, not necessarily overall as a team, but in his play. I think he will not develop as fast as people think. So the first time that he gets one or two losses on his resume, the germ spreaders will punish him because of that.
The germ spreaders in mind, though, Key, aren't they going to want to give it to Tom Brady? If Tom Brady goes to Tampa and all of a sudden the Bucs win that division, Tom Brady plays well in the process, that's the narrative that we always talk about. That's the story that, look, there's Tom Brady away from Bill Belichick, away from New England. He's doing it down there. That's your MVP. Isn't that the story they're going to want to tell?
Yeah, they're going to want to tell it, but remember, I just said the most likely guy that'll come out of nowhere is going to be Matt Ryan, and he's in that division. So Tom Brady would have to win the division and take it from New Orleans or take it from Atlanta in order to get that moment.
Take it.
If Tom Brady goes down there and they're winning, but he's only got 3,000 yards on the season, it's not going to be one of those situations where they're going to want to give it to him. Tom Brady's got to perform at a New England Patriot level to be able to get the MVP. He's got to perform at that Tom Brady level. He can't be mediocre in the team is winning. That's not going to get it for him.
All right. In celebration of his 70th birthday, Stevie Wonder is the best artist to come out of Motown. Take it or shake it.
Man, you threw that
one. I thought you were going a different direction with that, Travis, but okay.
I mean, me too. It's a lot of shake it.
All right. Shake it.
It's a lot of talented people that came out of Motown, right?
I had a little of an assist here on this one.
Yes, I submitted the question. This is true. And yes, Keith, there are a lot of artists out of Motown. But the question was, do you believe Stevie Wonder is the greatest of all the talent?
But see, I can't say that because
it was so many
so many people.
Marvin Gaye, Smokey.
Yeah, you got Marvin, you got Michael Jack. I mean, it's just so many.
So say no.
I said shake it.
All right. Why don't you ask it the way you want to ask it, Travis?
How do I want to ask it?
Yeah,
is Stevie Wonder the greatest artist who was visually impaired?
Great time, man.
That was a question. Break
you always. Ross, Ray Charles,
there's so much you can do with that. Come on now.
Put it this way. I'm very glad that I asked the question.
Yeah, cut his mic off.
Not the way that Raj suggested that I do it. The NBA took a step closer to returning to action yesterday. We'll explain when it might go down. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.